And again, we're recognizing our Title I Achievement Award. And Merced, Merlinda, Monta Vista, and San Jose. And the California Business for Education Award, and I believe that is also, is that also Merced, Merlinda, Monta Vista, and San Jose? Yes. Okay. Again, thank you so much, and your faculty, your staff, and your parents and our students for all the work that you do. Thank you.
Thank you again.
Whoa, that one works.
Wow, this one is working really well. Okay, that was to wake everybody up in case the clapping didn't do it. Okay. Okay, thank you everyone and principals and staff who work so diligently. All right, let's see if that works. Can we still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you all, and congratulations to all the schools again. Those are very big achievements, and we're incredibly proud. And thank you so much for all the hard work, the staff that supports all the schools. So thank you again. Round of applause again. And I'd like Ms. Kaplan to share what the superintendent told her, the state superintendent, when he saw you up on the stage and said,
Well, he had been here the day before at Walnut Grove. And so after we went up four or five times, he said, Big Red! And he recognized what was what district we were from. But he was very, very impressed, as was the superintendent of LACO, at the number of times we came up to represent the rewards of our school district. So it was very exciting.
Yeah, that was. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay, we're gonna move on to the hearing session. For me, the board president's report, the West Covina liaison meeting was canceled. They had a threat. They canceled our meeting. So hopefully they'll reschedule it soon. I also met with the superintendent to discuss the workshops from NSBA, and that was an excellent meeting, and hopefully some of it will trickle into the work that we're doing, and we'll be discussing some of those items further. And I'm also really happy to say that I went to go see the trial over at Monta Vista, the trial of Hansel and Gretel, and the special thanks to Ms. Decker. She just, I think, probably walked out the door. Special thanks to her staff. Ian was an advisor with the mock trial team, and the person who organized this, who conceptualized it, who got Judge Ito there, she did a tremendous job that night, was Tiffany Schrader, the teacher from Monta Vista Elementary. Her students were incredible. They were well-dressed. They were well-spoken. They were well-rehearsed. They deliberated. They took it very seriously. And at the end of the day, they found Hansel and Gretel guilty. Guilty of, Ian, help me, guilty of?
First degree murder, conspiracy, and vandalism.
They found them guilty. So it was an excellent, excellent presentation. Again, I congratulate Monta Vista and Ms. Schrader and Mr. Jones. Okay, anybody on the board who has a report?
Can we have Megan go ahead and go?
Megan has a commitment she needs to attend to. So she's going to jump ahead of my colleagues. Go ahead, Megan.
Okay, so I'm going to start with Coronado's report. Their open house was last Monday, and it was a big success. They are proud to show off the district's resource center to assist their homeless students. All the board members are invited to their student awards night tomorrow night at 6:30 in their cafeteria. Their last softball game will be played May 30th. They have 37 students who worked in the community at various events, totaling over 400 hours of community service this year. And lastly, all board members are invited to Coronado's graduation ceremony Friday, June 8th at 6:00 p.m. in the Edgewood Middle School Gymnasium. For Edgewood High School, their decathlon team is still, it's their new team, and they're continually meeting every week. They had their alumni sock hop last Saturday, and current and former EHS students had a great time dancing, eating, and getting to know each other. Yesterday, their school had a career day where the alumni graciously volunteered their time to come and teach their students about the many professions they could choose to follow. And in each session, students were offered taught what each career requires and how to be the best at it. This week is their college week, and through their activities, they'll be showing their student body the many schools that are out there and giving them information on what they have to offer. And their third play of the year, Romeo and Juliet, welcomes everyone to their performance today at 7. I think we're a little late for that one. Tomorrow at 7, Friday at 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock, and Saturday at noon and 4. And tickets are $5 at the door. They're having their sports fundraiser until the end of the year. Their school will be donating clothes, toys, and anything they're willing to give to the Goodwill. That's all, sorry. Their Interact is still working hard to raise money, several thousand dollars for Relay for Life, an organization that is dedicated to help fund cancer research. And many Edgewood High School students and teachers are staying up all night walking in support of the cause on June 2nd. That's for Edgewood. And for West Covina, we just ended our AP examination weeks with 1,001 AP exams administered. We have study sessions coming up for finals, and seniors are completing their research papers and their projects. Tonight we have our black and white ball, which is a big banquet for all of our fine arts to get together and celebrate the year. This Wednesday, tomorrow at 6:30, we have our Diva Dance-Off, which is where our dance drill and other dance teams in the area have their showcase. Friday is our last Renaissance Rally of the year with the Star Wars theme. Next week, we celebrate our Class of the Year, which is whichever class has the most spirit points, they get celebrated. The whole school is decked out in their colors. We also have Spirit Spectacular next Wednesday at 6:30, where every performing art performs their last performance of the year. Senior Awards Night is next Thursday. Senior Finals are next Wednesday and Thursday. And the last day for seniors is June 1st, next Friday. Finals for the rest of the school is June 4th through 8th, which will be the senior event week. And we have graduation June 7th at 7 p.m. on our Thyberg Field, and grad night will be at Six Flags this year that night. And then Friday is senior recovery from the whole week and the whole year. So those are my reports. Thank you.
Thank you again, and congratulations to you. Thank you. Okay, colleagues, any reports from my colleagues?
I just wanted to say the back-to-school night at Coronado was excellent, and I had the opportunity, along with the superintendent, to meet a young man with his mother talking about how Coronado had turned his life around and how he was able to make up all of the credits that he had lost. He's a junior, but he's done so well that he's decided to stay there for his senior year, and he's taken on some real leadership responsibilities. I think it's excellent that we have that opportunity for students, and if you could have looked into the mother's eyes, they were actually welling up with tears. She was so proud of him at what he'd accomplished this last year. That says a lot for the staff there and how much they care about the students. Also that going into the resource room for the homeless individuals and seeing the coats, the shoes, the backpacks that are available for homeless individuals in our district, was overwhelming. I didn't realize we had that type of resource for the individuals. So the effort that went into that also needs to be noted. So it was a great back to school night, and everybody who was there enjoyed themselves, and it was all the staff was very welcoming to all the parents.
Okay. Ms. Shoemaker.
I wanted to congratulate Holland Crest on a very successful career day. I was asked to be one of the speakers to the students, and I always leave it up to the school on whether I speak about being a paralegal or whether I speak about being an elected official. This year, I got to speak about being an elected official, and because I was the only one there, I also got to speak on being a paralegal. I had to find some way to fit an hour's worth of talking three times to a group of students. But I had a lot of fun, and I thank the school for inviting me to participate. I look forward to participating in the future. it's funny to, this is my second time doing it. They do it every 2 years. Students' complaints don't really change. The number one complaint is the food, as usual. Thankfully, we're able to blame a little bit of that on the federal government and not ourselves. As I explained to them, I still have never been able to understand how a frozen burrito meets any nutrition guideline on anybody's scale of healthy foods, but they somehow manage it.
You don't eat them frozen.
But even warmed up. And the students would debate you on whether or not they're served frozen. And so it was a lot of fun. Other questions students had were about, are we the ones who determine how many hours they're in school? Could they, you know, get out earlier? maybe change the books, make it a little bit easier. No complaints about the teachers, the schools. They were all very happy about that. And so I look forward to attending in 2 years. Oh, and as Ms. Miranda Jimenez said, we have nothing to report on the City Council School Board Liaison Subcommittee meeting. There has not been a meeting in several years. You know, we had high hopes of the meeting going forward since it was scheduled several months ago, and the city was kind enough to cancel it with 30 minutes notice.
Whoa.
Well, you got to see the whole trial then.
So thank you to the city for that.
Okay, thank you. We will go ahead and move on to items from the floor. Not more than 5 minutes are to be allotted to any one speaker, no more than 20 minutes on the same subject. This portion of the agenda is for presentations to the board and not a question and answer period where the board enters into a dialogue. If you have questions for the board, please provide the board president with a copy and an administrator will provide answers at a later date. Public comments beyond 30 minutes will be at the discretion of the board president. Okay, we have Araceli Briones.
I want to commend you. Your orchestrated scheme at the last board meeting, you did not only silence me, but our children's voices. Your actions and attempt to humiliate and intimidate me have only empowered me to continue to protest against the violations against me and our children's rights. It is in my opinion that the West Covina Unified School District has lost its vision. You forget that you are elected officials solely to represent the interests of children. One of your responsibilities is to speak out on behalf of those children. You are to act as advocates for students. Yet not one of you is advocating for my son. His right to a free, appropriate public education has been violated. Since the removal of his teacher, my son's education has been interrupted, causing regression and not reaching his IEP goal by his anniversary date in September. My request for a tutor in a private program for the summer to address the setbacks have been denied by the special ed director. It appears you are more concerned about your personal interests and your six-figure income. You parade yourselves at our schools with smiles, caring faces, and genuine feelings. It is when you are faced with adversity that your true identities are revealed. There isn't anything genuine about this board. You have failed to demonstrate ethics. You have harbored information in an attempt to protect your colleagues. You have failed to follow procedures to the letter. Yet you prosecute with full force parents in the SAR program to the letter of the law, regardless of the medical history of the child. Your only concern is the money you receive from the state, not the child's health or education. I've experienced this firsthand with both of my children. The only loyalty you have demonstrated is to each other in protecting your personal interests. I will continue to seek justice for my son. Time is of essence, and I've tried to find remedy to my complaint in a civil manner. Yet, you've manipulated everything to your benefit. It is time to seek legal representation and even the battlefield, since you continue to be evasive and fail to respond to my complaint. There are only 4 days remaining to the 60 calendar days allotted to you to respond to my complaint in writing. I hope to hear from you soon. I leave you with a quote by Edward McNaughton. To protect those who are not able to protect themselves is a duty which everyone owes to society.
Okay, thank you. Okay, the next speaker that we have is Mr. Ian Jones.
Good evening. As perusing through the agenda, I was happy to see that you were going to be looking for first reading a board policy on meetings. And two things regarding that. One, and I want to commend you because there's a lot of government agencies who are very poor about posting agendas and whatnot onto the internet. So I want to commend you for that. But I would like to ask if the board would discuss amongst themselves the memorializing of actually posting the agenda 72 hours online, just as you do out in, you know, the
thing.
Yes, the bulletin board. Thank you. Now, I'd like to see it online too. I mean, that's a way that a lot of people, that's the way I look at the agenda. I would like to see that memorialized. Also, the second point, I would like to see you stream the meetings online. I think it's time that we look into that again. You know, before it was putting it on cable, and that was too cost prohibitive, and not everyone lived in the same, not everyone had the same cable provider, and I understand that. But I think it's time to look at it again. Streaming video is far less costly than it is putting it through local cable access. And it's something the community talks about. The city council gets pressure on it, and they finally, you know, got their act together. And I think it's time that this board really opened the doors to transparency and let everyone in. And, you know, that's one way of doing it. So I would really like to see a discussion regarding that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, and our last speaker, Stephanie Broviak, please.
Good evening. I would just like to say a little something about Edgewood Middle School. I happened to be there maybe a week or so ago, and the fire alarm had gone off. It was a false alarm. But I just wanted to go on record by saying how impressed I was with the way everybody handled it. I happened to be visiting with Ms. Miller, and the whole mood of the school changed. Everybody responded. Everybody was in the office. The radios were going. And I was really impressed. And, in fact, a couple weeks later, there was an incident, or last week, down the street involving police, and one of my neighbors asked about it at the school. I said, you know what, I'm not worried, because I've seen how they operate, and I have no fear for my child's safety. If there happens to be, God forbid, a lockdown situation, I know that my child is in good hands. So I just basically wanted to go on record saying how impressed I was. It was a false alarm, but instantly, you know, the communication, the people came running, the radios. I've been sure to tell a lot of people, you know, how they handled it. So I just wanted to go on record stating that and let you all be aware.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ms. Broviak, and I'm sure you'll be very happy to hear that Mr. Travatore is here in the audience. So, Mr. Travatore, thank you very much for maintaining a well-run school over there, so much so that it went on record today. Thank you. Okay, we're going to go ahead and move on to the business session of our meeting. Anybody like to take anything off of consent?
Yes.
Or place anything on consent? Okay.
I want to take off. I didn't know if you were doing this first. I want to take off number 7.
I'm sorry, 7?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. So 7 off of consent. Is there anyone else? Okay. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda and the
amended.
As amended, removing item number 7 from consent? Is there anyone who will move that? Oh, I'm sorry. As amended, yes, okay. And seconded? Is that you, Mr. Spence?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor, say aye. All those opposed? Okay, it is carried 4-0. Okay, let's go ahead and go to item number 3. The revision of board policy second reading. Is there any discussion? Okay. How about BPA R1340?
I mean, how do you want to
discussion on that? Well, let's go one by one. That way we can be orderly. So BP and AR 1340, 1340. Any discussion on that? Go ahead, Mr. Spence.
Well, let's go to the on page 3E. Which says requests for public records will be listed on the district's website with a cached identifiable, I don't know what that means, records, except this isn't the new language, except for matters that invade the privacy or interests of students or employees. What's identifiable?
That's whatever, that's the documents that have been requested that we, that those are the documents that have been requested.
Okay, so with attached documents.
Right.
So attached records would probably be better than identifiable.
Okay.
Yeah, or is there a legal reason we're using identifiable?
Not that I know of.
Yes.
They call them identifiable records because sometimes you get records requests for records that don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get that request and you can't identify what they're trying to ask you for, you're not going to be able to produce a record.
Or it's not produced by the district or whatever. Yeah.
So the term is usually used so that you know that the record is identifiable and you can produce.
Okay. I wanted to add language that, no, I thought that we had talked about some kind of time language on this.
We did.
And that's not in here?
You're correct, it's not. So why don't we add that?
Okay, what was the time?
Well, you had recommended a year.
I think that was you recommended, but that's okay.
No, I recommend 2 weeks to a month.
2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we should put it up there at least for several months of some nature. I mean, I think 2 weeks is too short a period of time to just list it up there. I also think, I mean, I don't know if we have consensus on that or not. Anyone wants to think about a date?
The attorney, I believe, said a month, didn't he?
No, he didn't.
No,
that was my recommendation.
No, our attorney, who does a living most convenient, that wants to set policy for us, actually says that we shouldn't do this.
He didn't want to set policy.
Yeah,
he just, we discussed it with him, and he just gave us his opinion.
Right.
It wasn't.
Okay.
I just wanted to share that with you.
I was impressed. I hope you shared it. But
I would be okay with 60 days.
Tell me.
Well, there have to be three people to tell you something. So
I still like the idea of having the being able to request it online, but not attaching the documents. I mean, we've outlined here that they can come to the office. The letter of the law says that we have to make it available to come to the that they have to be able to request it here in person. So to be able to request it online means we're going even one step above, but we've got too many sensitive, or at least distinguish between if it has to deal with students, then we're not going to put it on our internet. They can come and request it or request it over the internet. I'm still a little uncomfortable.
Well, I think, actually, I don't like this language in here because it's vague, but we have detailed language on things that are not public records.
Right.
15 of them.
Right.
They are already. And, I would prefer that we just reference to the, that except for, those outlined, in the board policy rather than that language. Because I don't see how that language is much different from some of the language up here, but it seems weird that we're referencing this language rather than the language that's very detailed in here.
The reason that I suggested that is sometimes the information, for example, the recent one, when they requested the charges, there's a lot of really detailed information sometimes in the charges about students or an employee. And again, that's the only reference they have in terms of putting that online.
I mean, I mean, there's lots of sensitive things that could be in a public records request that people don't want the public to see. That's the whole purpose of public record requests. And so when you have language that also includes employees, you know, it makes it, and it gives leeway to public record requests not being put online that might, you know, the public would might be interested in knowing had they known something was going on. And so, I mean, I really have, I I'm kind of tired of hearing about I'm for transparency, but thing, it's kind of, if the public has a right to these documents, there's no reason why we can't put them on the web for a limited amount of time if somebody wanted them. There's already references in here, if you want, I'll read them again, that talk about 15, which would apply to the case you mentioned, as well as...
All right. So, Mr. Spence, how would you feel comfortable listing on our internet, on our website, some of the unfortunate things that have happened this school year? As Ms. Kaplan said,
well, I prefer not to, you know, I'm not, I'm suggesting, I don't know why everyone thinks that every public record request is going to be about horrible things that happen, but I don't have a problem. If the public's making, if someone from the public's making a request for documents, there's no reason why we can't, you know, put on the web for a limited amount of time. That's just, you know, a simple position. And yeah, sometimes those things are uncomfortable, but it's clear in here the kinds of things you talk about, by the way, are included, you know, in the things that are not public records. You know, and in fact, the case you're talking about, you know, was something that was talked about in the media without us putting anything on the web. So, I mean, the idea that somehow you can keep, you know, information from there, you know, I kind of don't understand how that fits. I mean, because you have it right there in 15, the kind of things that you want to bring up.
Right.
But once you include employees, you know, that gives wiggle room by not following here for the district to say, well, we're not going to put those things online because it might be embarrassing. Yeah, that's the whole purpose of public record requests, is that something, you know, but you know what? Sometimes people make public record requests and it's not embarrassing.
Because
they're lying about it, you know, and so I feel very comfortable putting up things, documents, compared to, you know, anonymous things that get put up on the website from people that don't have the guts to come forward. You know, I feel much better about that than I do, you know, I feel better about this than I do that. So I don't understand, you know, I just don't understand the reluctance for a limited amount of time letting the public see the public record requests and the documents to it.
Ms. Pelosi.
I don't believe he answered your question when you said for the one incident that happened this year. That
look at 15, I think it covers that.
I don't know how.
We did give the charges as public records. We needed to do that, and in the charges was some very detailed information. Yes, it would have gone in the paper anyhow, but it would have been in the paper one night.
It was publicly available from the police. It was publicly available from the CTC. It was publicly available from everywhere.
I understand, but...
And it's on the CTC website right now.
I understand, but I dealt with the family on this one, and I think for that particular information to have been on our website for 60 days would have been harmful to the child and the family, and I just, that's my... My opinion on this.
You know, but I think that's being used, and, you know, you may believe that, and that's fine, but I think it can end up being used as an excuse to restrict stuff that the public has the right to.
That's not what I'm looking to
do. I know that, but that's the problem when you start drawing distinctions.
Except that's not what this is saying. This is saying in terms of attaching the documents to the website, we are going to limit and not have documents that invade the privacy or interests of students and or employees. It is not saying that the documents aren't going to be given to the public. So any member of the community who sees documents that aren't on the website can ask, the same as the person who requested the documents, for the full set from the district office. We're just, with this language, putting an extra layer of protection for our students into our board policy. This isn't limiting what's given, period.
When you vote for it to take out the word employees? Were we trying to protect the child predator?
No, I would see when it comes to employees, it being more, this being used more limitedly than when it comes to students.
Well, actually, that's not the case, because the public records request was about stuff that went on with the teacher.
Correct, and that information was given, but with in this particular instance that we keep going back to, it also had a lot of information that invaded, in my opinion, the privacy of the student. So, of course,
which should have been covered by 15, by the way, which I don't understand why
well,
it wasn't.
Well, and that was one of the questions we had asked to be addressed.
What was the response to that, Ms. Kaplan?
The response was we could have fought it and actually gone to court on it.
If they would have gone to court to get it.
If they would have gone to court to get it, you know, the question was at this particular time, this is when the newspaper was talking about transparency and there was direction from the board to give the information as quickly as possible. So we didn't fight it. We chose not to fight it. So yes, you can fight it. I think, hopefully we're not going to have any situations in the future that we even have to be having this conversation. That would be my first preference. I don't have a problem with the employee piece being taken out. I think my number one concern is kids, and I want to have a little discretion with that, not knowing what's going to come up in the future. And for me, that's my issue. It's not for sure that if we fought it, we'd win it, because there has been no case where anybody has fought it before. You're taking that chance.
I don't know that the board we ever had a discussion on that part of it. You know, making a decision to do that or not. But, you know, if we take, I'll sign off on it if we can take the word employee out. Because I don't know why what public records are talking about employees that aren't covered by the personnel stuff in here, you know, that kind of identifying information stuff.
I don't have any problem taking employee out unless they requested that information on the employee and the student's information was on there.
That would give me, as long as I'm protecting the student,
right.
That
so,
would still give me the leeway.
So you would be, the details of that particular situation and the, I'm going to say intimate details of what happened between them, that part wouldn't
right.
come out. But anything that he did, it was very clear what happened and that it was inappropriate.
Right.
That would be there. Just not the intimate details yes. that'll follow the student forever.
And that's really my concern, not the employees.
Yeah, well,
it would have still been produced. The difference is it's not going to be on our website.
Right.
Exactly.
And that is what I'm interested in. Yes, I will vote for this without the employees because I think they are covered in other areas. And I think our most important duty is to our students. And so the community does have that right to know. So I'm willing to take that part off.
Yeah, the other comment I wanted to make is that we're moving forward. We've got a great strategic plan that we're working on. We're moving the district in a very positive place. Good things are happening at our schools, and having some of that very negative, ugly stuff sitting on our website, I don't feel sheds that we're a district that's moving forward and doing great things. You can click on a button, and then there you can see these public records requests with. Because most people are not asking for a public records request of fabulous things that are happening at the school. So that's the other component, too, that I sit and struggle with as well. Not that I want to keep information from people, but I'm saying, how does it show the district positively? I'd rather, how are we moving in a very, when we're going to have for 60 days, a year, this information about the worst things that are happening in the district?
Well, we haven't come up with a time frame, but I think this is the fundamental difference that I think I have with that point of view is that, you know, we're elected as trustees, and we're trustees, and not in the sense that we get to wear the orange jumpsuits and, you know, serve, you know, work in the laundry, but we're trustees of the public, you know, and so it's not always our job to be PR spin control for the school district, you know, and in fact, I think putting more truth out there from our district is actually better than, you know, having people, you know, talk about things that aren't real and are true, and there's not a place where people can say, no, it's not true. There's nothing like that. You know, so I think that's better. But see, I view this as a trusteeship issue. We're trustees to the public. And, you know, sometimes I think we need to show that and be open about it. And, you know, sometimes things don't go like we always want. And you know, I think people understand that. But I'm not a PR flack for our school district or you know, some kind of system. I'm a trustee of the public, and the public have a right to this information.
And I think it makes them, the public, feel safer when they can actually see what's happening. And when they know it's going to be out there, and I'll the good and the bad, that I'll know that I'm not going to be protected from the bad because I want to know what's happening. As if my child was in there, I'd want to know. I just don't want to hurt the student anymore. So if there's a way that extra layer, but letting people know that we're not going to hide things from them because to keep their children safe, or for them to know that they're safe in their community, they have to know that people are being honest with them and being transparent.
And I think that's what you put on that whole section is, you know, look at neighboring school districts won't put the information up, we will, you know. And I don't, you know, you don't have to say what are they trying to hide. But, you know, you just say, you know, we are willing to do that, you know, in an effort to be, you know, above board about stuff, we're going to put everything on. And I think, you know, that goes a long way. On, you know, I mean, just recently there was a controversial thing, and, you know, there was a split vote, and some stuff some people wanted to make public didn't get to make public. But I think the fact that some people wanted to make it public, you know, I think helped cool things down in some ways.
I'm not disagreeing with anything any of you are saying. My only issue is I'm comfortable personally to take out employees. I'm comfortable putting an amount of time there.
Yeah, and we got to put an amount of time in.
And I think the number of times I agree with Mr. Spence, the majority of the requests nobody's going to be interested in. But every once in a while, I just want to be able to have the option of.
Well, and I think it's difficult too nowadays. It's even harder to expect things to be on a 9-to-5 or 7-to-3 schedule or whatever. I mean, that just, I know I'm not on that schedule. And so, you know, I don't think everybody else is either. And so I think, you know, that's what, you know, to give access to more, I think is better.
Okay, so removing and or employees, just simply having it end with that invade the privacy.
Or interests
of students, period. Okay, now we have to agree to a time frame. We have 2 weeks suggested. We have 60 days. We have 1 year suggested.
Well, I'll sign off on the longest period the rest of you guys will sign off on.
The longest I will go is 60 days. I would prefer shorter.
I would prefer 30. Ms. Poulos?
Well, the good news is we can't take down some of the old stuff now when you go on there, so I guess we're okay.
I don't mind keeping it on for the 60 days. Will it slow down? It's not a whole lot of information, so it really shouldn't slow down our system, because I know one of the things we said about streaming was it would slow down our system so much that we were really going to have to look on how we could do that. But this is just a little bit of information.
I'd say let's try the 60 days and then come back and, you know, let's change it. Mr. Seaman made me aware that the only thing that is on the agenda is the AR, the board policy is not on for this one. So I think we can only vote on the AR right now. The policy was very simple. I don't think we're voting on that last one.
It says you're saying in our
the first time.
Packet. It says BPAR.
Yeah, but the BP is not included in the packet. Yeah.
So do we have to remove this then?
No, but we don't have the BP.
I'm sorry?
But we don't have the BP.
Because we don't have the BP.
You don't have to remove the AR because the BP's not there.
I don't think we should vote on it. It's not here, but I would like to get this one off.
I'm bringing the board policy for second reading along with the other ones that are
right.
Okay.
But I would like to get this taken care of tonight.
So okay.
You don't want another meeting on it? I do think we should agendize Mr. Jones's comments. We had one vote on the streaming thing that failed back about, what was it, 4 years?
We do post online.
No, we post online, but that's a difference than live streaming. We post the audio online.
And we do post the agendas every 2 weeks.
Yeah. And so that was different. And, you know, that was 4 years ago. I think that was before you were on the board, mm-hmm. Eileen. And it failed. And so I'm willing to revisit that.
And if we can find out if it was possible, because I think the discussion at that time is that we would not have been able to be, they were afraid it was going to do something to the servers when the teachers input their data for students going in, and if that crashed, then they wouldn't be able to do their attendance online and the other, some of the other things.
Because they all wait till the board meeting and they all go home and they all log on.
Technology has changed.
Yeah, I think someone can stream it from out there on a phone if they could hook it up.
I would be surprised if that would be an issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was the issues that they had brought up at that time.
That was the butts they brought up last time. It's the Welfare Transparency Butt.
Okay, so am I hearing a majority for 60 days?
I'm willing to vote for 60 days if that I get two of the votes for it.
Okay, so I'm hearing a majority for 60 days or in discussion. And then add to this particular one here, Mr. Spence, is where you're saying add to AR 1340, actually memorializing, placing
it. I didn't say that.
No?
That was Jones's.
Oh, that, I'm sorry. That was for streaming, but that's a different one. And we're gonna.
No, he had two things.
Right. The first one was to actually make it part of board policy that the agenda goes on 72 hours.
Well,
it's practice, but it's not written into our policy.
Well, and when we get there.
I believe that's what the.
That's the last one. That's
meetings and notices, so we'll get to that. Yeah. Okay, so BP 4140. Or are we done with this one? AR. Okay. All right, let's move on to BP 4140, please.
Well, I guess I just have one question. And we had a discussion where there were some documents where there was consensus that were produced by the district that we said should go online, you know, contracts and 700s and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I don't know that that's ever been formalized or if we've had a discussion. Are there other documents that, you know, we should just go ahead and put online as it is?
Do you want to agendize that for next time?
Sure.
And then we can listen to it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
What other documents do you want to put online?
Yeah, I'm not sure the ones that we talked about before all of them got done.
Well, we can review the list.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
So it's basically all of the contracts for the cabinet and the superintendent.
Compensation. 700s.
Form 700s and other campaign disclosures that individual board members may have to do.
No, the campaign disclosures, there was an issue because the district doesn't do them.
Correct. But in the interest of transparency and board members' interests, that was one of the ones set to be put up there.
So we've already discussed that the first.
Well, we've discussed some of it, yeah.
So I can do that without bringing it back to the board. I can make sure that we have the contracts, compensation, and the forms.
Yeah,
correct. It was a couple of years ago now.
Compensation is for cabinet members.
It was the salary schedule, right? Yeah. Everybody, yeah.
Okay, we can do that.
I think it's up there. Yeah.
I know the contracts.
Well, it was good the Form 700 was up there, the old one, because I had to go look at it real quick to make sure I was right about the dates and something. So that was helpful.
Okay.
I want to know next year when I look to see.
4140, 6143, 9223. Anybody have those? I know for sure we're going to talk about 9320, but those other.
We have some additional information on 4140.
Okay.
Page 3H, where it says each employment organization shall within 60 days of the fiscal year. Our understanding from our attorney that the board that they are referring to is the PERB board. Is that correct, Mr. Seaman? That it's not the Board of Education? The law is that it's provided to the PERB board?
Then why is that in our board policy?
Because that's the government code.
Yeah, but we're.
That's what we were advised.
The paragraph also talks about employees being able to request assistance.
Which board did you say that was, Ms. Kaplan?
PERB.
What our attorney, would you like to address that, Mr. Smith?
Our attorney, Mr. Mayor, in this discussion with this, informed me that the government code 3546.5
Okay.
So
how would we know that?
Not the LEA board.
So then we can can we just add that in, provide the per board?
No, the whole thing should be out. It doesn't apply to us. Am I right? Because they don't petition, or they don't petition us to get it. Is that correct?
I mean, that's what we were told.
Can we request that they provide the board with a copy of what they provide to PERB?
We can request it.
Well,
we did send the request to both units.
Well, why don't we do a public records request to PERB? Because I'm sure they got it.
And then they'll put it on their website.
No, they won't, but they should.
I agree with you. I don't know why, if it's PERB, I don't know why it's in our policy.
Because at all.
We can't enforce it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so remove it. Is there a consensus on that?
Well, if it's not us.
Well, my question is, can we add that they will provide us with it also?
We... this was discussed with one of our units, CSEA, and mm-hmm. I think they had some objections to providing it to us.
Oh, but yet we can be the administrative arm and take money out of all their employees' paychecks?
That is,
they can do it themselves then.
We went to our attorney to get more clarification on this.
And have they answered?
They were unwilling to provide it to us, but actually invited us to our meetings, which they freely distributed at their meetings to the unit. And that we could attend the meeting and
bring it back to
them.
So when will we know from our attorneys if we can require it in our board policy?
So should we take 4140 out until we can have that?
No, not 4140. I mean, we just take that whole section out, right?
No, they want to know if we can require it, so that would be additional. We couldn't vote on it tonight because this is second reading.
Right.
We could table it for the next meeting if.
Okay, and we have items coming up for second reading, so we can include it. Right? Okay, so we'll do that. Okay, 6143. Okay, 9223.
Oh, actually, I did have something on
6143.
No, I'll let go. That's fine.
Okay, 9223. Okay, 9320. I think we had something to add here, or at least it was suggested.
9320?
Mm-hmm. 9320, meetings and notices.
About where it says at least 72 hours prior
to a regular meeting. We're talking about 9320. On page 3. They'll be posted. Can we? Does everyone? Well, can be. The agenda shall be posted online and at one or more locations freely accessible to the members of the public. That brings us up to modern technology.
Would there be a problem if our website went down and we said we were going to do it?
Well, we didn't follow all the board policies all those years. Nothing happened to anybody.
I don't know. I mean, we always posted online in my previous district. It wasn't an issue.
And so if it went down, but there would always be a reason that,
right.
I mean, because it wouldn't be just that section.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, instead of adding it to that specific paragraph, maybe make a paragraph underneath that basically says, you know, it shall be the policy of the board to post the agenda online at least 72 hours in advance. Because the paragraph above refers to a specific
mm-hmm.
government code.
Oh, good point. Thank you. You're right.
Just a sentence, is that underneath it?
Yes.
Can you repeat it slightly?
It shall be the policy of the board to post the agenda at least 72 hours prior to the regular meeting on its website, on the school district website.
Mm-hmm.
website. At least 2 hours prior to a regular meeting. Got it.
Okay. I had a question on 3Q. And I didn't take detailed enough notes on this. It's where it says the board may hold 2 regular meetings each month. I thought we had discussed that we were not going to put a number in there.
Right.
So
I think we said the board may hold regular meetings each month.
Or the board will hold regular meetings each month.
Well, yes, you're right, because we said some months we have one.
Well, and before the language also limited to us, because it said shall or...
So the board will hold regular meetings each month. We'll hold...
It says may. It says the board may hold.
I think the changes was that the board shall hold 2 regular meetings a month, and we changed it to may.
But I believe we took out the number of meetings.
Okay.
Because the language was limiting us to 2 meetings a month. We don't necessarily meet 2 meetings a month.
Mm-hmm.
Do you just want to take that whole sentence out?
I think it needs to be something like the board will hold regular meetings each month.
Okay.
I thought we took that whole first little sentence out. I thought we just simply said it was going to start with regular meetings shall be held at 7 p.m. With closed session prior to the regular meeting. I think we took out the whole...
You may be right.
The whole first little sentence.
But I thought at the end there was discussion about the fact that, well, then what if a board tries to not have meetings at all?
I think that there is a time when we didn't have a meeting at all in August. In July. But we had 2 meetings in June and 2 meetings in August because of the way vacations were.
You know.
And so it was really strange.
I think you may be correct. I think it was regular meetings shall be held at 7 p.m. with closed session prior to the regular meeting. And then there was supposed to be a line about meetings will normally be scheduled on the second and fourth Tuesday of each month.
Meetings what?
Will normally be scheduled on the second and fourth Tuesday of each month.
I thought you wanted to take that out.
Yeah.
No, we were taking out the number of meetings, and we were changing the language so that they will normally be held on the second and fourth, not that they have to be held.
I don't think we need it.
What I remember was maybe you wanted finally to take got one out in, and but keep in the board until adopting the
calendar specifying meeting, right? Regular meeting shall be held at 7 p.m. with closed session prior to the regular meeting.
That's fine with me.
I think that was it. So then actually those 2 sentences.
Just the first sentence out.
So
we're going to take the first sentence out of the second.
Right. Okay. So it's the board shall adopt a yearly calendar specifying the date, time, and place of each regular meeting. Regular meeting shall be held at 7 p.m. with closed session prior to the regular meeting. Yeah, that's what we had.
Okay, there we go.
And then it tells us where. And then we're going to now say we're going to have it online. Okay, any other additions, subtractions? Okay, so that one we will... Alrighty. So...
I will move this item removing board policy 1340 because it was not attached to the agenda, tabling board policy 4140, and approving for second reading board policy 6143, BB9223, and BB2320.
9320.
And AR 1340.
Mm-hmm.
I'll second that.
Thank you. All those in favor?
As amended.
As amended.
I moved it as amended.
Yeah, she did.
Put it in.
She
took
really
out
good.
The ones that weren't supposed to be there.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those against? Okay, motion passes 4-0. Okay, item number 4, revision of board policy first reading. VP, E4119.29, that whole professional responsibilities. Any comments?
I had a question.
Yes, Mr. Spence.
And that is the word refrain that's in here several times. You know, I mean, is that strong enough to make it clear or not? Or is that not the, you know, is there, I mean, should we just say, refrain makes it sound like, ah, oh, you know, then I refrained, but then I went ahead and did it anyways. You know, should we just say no? You know what I mean? I mean, it would be easier to enforce, right? It'd be easier to enforce, correct?
10
right?
through 14.
Oh, through yeah. all of them.
And they refrain from changing the language that you looked at?
The word refrain is very directed as you refrain from doing this.
If you, so if they do
you
it?
You will not perform the act. Well,
okay.
This is meant to be guidelines.
Well, the, okay.
They're meant to be guidelines for the employees to follow to make sure that we are performing and establishing professional boundaries.
So are they guidelines or are they... I mean, I guess that's my question. I mean, what if someone violates this?
Depending on what it was that violated this, disciplinary.
So that it's not a guideline.
Let me give you some background in terms
of... Am I right? I mean, guideline doesn't sound as clear-cut.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? At least I don't... I love it when people say it's a guideline.
It's just giving you the... A loose so boundary.
That was the committee's intention, that it would be a guideline for people to refer to and follow.
It'd be a guide.
Make sure that you are establishing professional boundaries.
Ms. Kaplan, you said you wanted to give us some background.
Well, this came about, obviously, with the incident that happened at Walnut Grove, and we brought together a committee of teachers and administrators because everybody wanted some guidance in terms of what recommendations do we give. Once the committee was in session, we received a copy of this, pretty similar to this. I'm not sure we made any changes in terms of this board policy that another district had actually put in, used. And so we looked at this and thought this said really what we wanted to say, and we wanted to attach these guidelines because it was really a collaborative effort to say, you know,
it was a collaborative effort of that school district's.
No,
that was so good.
This was our collaborative effort because both our teachers' union and our administrators wanted to give guidance to teachers because everyone was pretty upset after that happened that there are teachers who...
Yeah.
Beth? Oh, teachers and classified. Thank you. I wasn't... I should have Mr. Stevens. But it was an effort to collaborate with our faculty and staff and our administrators because people were really concerned about what had happened and wanted to make sure that we had something to guide our decisions and actions.
Well, one question I have about this is it's titled Professional Responsibilities, but it really only has to do with staff in relation to students. I think sometimes there are professional responsibilities amongst colleagues. And so I think this policy either needs to be renamed to clarify that it's professional responsibilities towards students, or it needs to be rewritten so that it includes professional responsibilities amongst the adults also. For example, if you look at paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4, members of this board would probably be able to recognize that maybe that one would refer to inappropriate conduct that's not necessarily towards a student, between an employee and student. And I can't get more specific here.
What's your recommendation?
That either this be retitled or it is written to include employee behavior amongst other employees. Professional responsibilities there.
Yes.
The intent was between employees. The intent of this was between employees.
Mm-hmm. Which is fine. So if we have professional responsibility towards students, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
titling this professional responsibilities toward students.
Because that's all it refers to.
Well,
that was what it was meant to.
See, it has guidance, advice. I prefer the word directive. Or, I don't think it's clear from there that there's consequences for not following the guideline.
That wasn't an intent when we made it. It really was an exhibit. It was an exhibit. It wasn't AR. It was really just an exhibit of recommendations.
Well, then why are we doing it?
You're saying why are we doing it if there's no consequence?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm confused. I guess I don't understand what we're doing now. I mean, if it's a board policy or it's an AR, right, we're going to enforce it. So why would we have something in an AR that's we're not, or that's not the intent of?
It wasn't the intent of this committee. If the board is directing us to go back and change it, we will, but that wasn't the intent of these guidelines. It was an opportunity for us to really look at.
Well, I'm asking if this is the right place for it then, though. I mean, that's, you know, because our board policies and ARs, to me, imply that's the policies of the district, and here are the administrative regulations, and this is how we're going to follow stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if this is not something where there's that, then why, I guess I'm not sure that's the right place.
And maybe it's not. I think the committee started on this, they ended up on this, and maybe this is not the right place to put it in, because maybe it was meant to be just a communication.
I don't know. I don't know what the committee...
I mean, Mr. Seaman.
Well, I'm just trying to think if there's other exhibits or policies that are,
like that,
lack of a better term, guidelines. And I know there's some code of ethics and things like that in there.
I don't remember
what they say in there.
There is some code of ethics. There is some code of ethics. But see, this guideline.
If there's some violation of those, does it turn into discipline, or is that more of a guideline of this is how you should conduct yourself in a professional manner? I mean, I understand what you're saying. It's in the policy, it's an exhibit, or it's an AR. Is it something that should be enforceable? If it's enforceable, then it should be worded much differently than this.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if
more
some
directive, they shall.
Yeah, they shall. So that is, right. I mean, because when I read this, you know, is it clear that you're not supposed to, you know, if we find out someone is becoming friends with someone on their social network, you know, what do we do? You know, I mean, is it,
well,
you know.
That's part of what the policy was trying to address to, and that's why the paragraph in here about observing and evidence and making it reported.
Yeah, so it sounds like we're enforcing it then.
What was expressed to us is that
there are a lot of things
people knew about this situation that kind of brought this about. There was concern of other situations that weren't reported for a number of months or years. That we have some guidelines in here, some parameters in here that says if you observe something, you will report it. I can tell you from the meetings that we had with the committee, it was a sensitive issue about producing a document that is in use to discipline employees. That was a concern of both unions. And that's why the document was produced as a guideline to assist our members, our employees, to make better decisions when conducting themselves with students.
Okay, that part I get, but then at the same time, then, like, I mean, would we say, you know, you just aren't living up to the guidelines, we're going to write you up? When does the guideline become a rule you broke?
My initial response would be depends on the case, depends on the situation, depends on what happened. I provided my cell phone number to a student to make sure that, you know, they called me to tell me they got home safe or after a field trip. And here, not supposed to do that. Refrain from giving your personal cell phone number to students.
Yeah, I wanted
to be an instance where, and that's kind of why
I wanted to change that to contact information, by the way.
Cell phone. Different trips that you go on, especially with ASB and things like that, that you know, you may be there until late at night, and then they have your cell phone number for safety concerns. Not really what this was trying to address.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'd like to make.
I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, I'm just kind of.
I understand that it looks awkward here, but I think we're trying to make it. Show that it's very important that people see this and use this, and so we were trying to stay away from that. We're trying to discipline you.
Okay, that clears it all up.
I don't know.
That clears it all up.
Or not.
Thank you.
That was the intent of the committee.
Yeah. It's all clear. Now, I didn't want to change that cell phone to contact information. Because, you know, whether it's Skype, whether it's, you know, all the different stuff that's out there, you know, it's about contact information rather than something prescribed like cell phone.
Wait,
teachers are old enough, they might even have landlines, some of them.
I think the importance of the policy supports what we're doing. This was really an attempt to kind of give guidance to everybody. So I would not be comfortable. If this doesn't fit here, I'd be more comfortable taking this out.
Well, I don't. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm just asking. You know, I'm just asking those questions.
They're good questions.
That, you know, kind of. Because, you know, this is like if it was a code of conduct, it's a little stronger, you know, than guidelines, I think. But, you know, I just, I mean, it's kind of my question.
Oh, I like that, code of conduct. In addition to the one that you just gave us an example of, Mr. Seaman, where an advisor for safety, you know, theater, track, number 11, same thing, refrain from chatting socially online with students. When teachers... and clubs may start creating their own Facebook pages so a teacher can never be a part of that page, even though the class... So I think that needs to be flushed out a little as well. I know the intention is to say exclusively.
I would prefer at this point removing this because I think there are going to be other board policies on social media which would address that more specifically and probably better worded in terms of educational versus social. And I understand what you're saying, and I don't think we're at a point that we want to write it in those terms right now. So I think it would be best,
you know, because you know,
part
I
of the policy and just continue to use it as guidelines, and really look at this policy as what the board would be supporting.
Okay.
It does say the social networking on the board policy to engaging in. Harassing.
Yeah, but see, this is different harassment.
Well, and it, but it, let's see. Paragraph 2.
So what are we doing on this?
So we're going to remove the professional boundaries guidelines, right? But keep the board policy.
Well, I do hope then that when you do the guidelines with them, they use contact information rather than just cell phone. The people on that committee were so archaic.
Okay.
Yeah, cell phone.
And we changed the title to Professional Responsibilities Toward Students. Okay. Okay, any other discussion? Board policy AR5111. Any comments? No? Okay. AR6143.
So we're just going to strike that whole part from Ed Code Section 51204.5.
No. Well, I think we're on kindergarten now, right?
No, AR6143. What?
We struck
I
part of
thought
it.
We were doing is just leaving A and getting rid of all of the 1, 2, and 3. Well, 1, 2, and it says 2 here. So that it would have just said the History, Resources, and Development and Government of California in the United States.
I talked with colleagues about the conversation that we had, and some of my colleagues felt that, kind of agreed that until the state gives us curriculum to go with these, that they were not going to change their board policy at this time until they had more direct curriculum to address it. So,
and that was the previous policy, is that right?
Yes. So that was my recommendation at that point, that other districts were waiting to get the curriculum, and I think that was what you brought up, is how are we going to implement it without the curriculum? So that's why we made that recommendation. Not to say we're not going to come back and revisit this once we have the curriculum, but we could answer those questions without the curriculum, so it seemed inappropriate to put it in at this point.
And that was the consensus.
And then the other thing we did, I think there was duplication of information on 11 and 12, and so we information on 12.
Okay. Any other comments on this? Okay, on to the next one, 6161. Any discussion on 6161? Okay.
The only question I kind of had was this whole thing about, you know, references specific funds and stuff like that. Like if the program went away, you know. But I guess we go back and do that. 14.
On 6161?
Mm-hmm. Page 14.
14.
In accordance with the Instructional Materials Funding Realignment Program. You know. That just sounds like a program waiting to be not funded.
Page what? I'm sorry.
14.
Like oh, I kept thinking 14. I'm thinking there is no page 14.
14. 14. I mean, I just don't know if that changes anything or not. Right?
I'm sorry, can you
point sure. In accordance with the Instructional Materials Funding Realignment Program. But I'm not sure, like, if that program goes away, it would change anything that we would want to do. Is that correct or wrong? California's IMF, not the...
Yes. Materials for K-8 must be from the state approved list. I do believe there's some language about that. But this is
K-12.
Right. But the dollars used from IMF have to be from the state approved lists for K-8 and board approved for 9-12.
Mm-hmm. So,
and that's what this the date change on page 4U. We change that's the flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
That's the flexibility there. So during the period of the tier 3 flexibility, if those dollars are needed for something else, it's all swept and the rules go
away. Well, I mean, should we just take out that that thing to the paragraph and start with the board's priority in the selection of instructional materials.
To take out.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Well, it does make sense.
And then, but you also have this thing about the pupil textbook and incentive account. Sounds like something waiting to be rated.
I would want to check because if the dollars. If the board doesn't choose to sweep those dollars or make them flexible, then the rules are still in place. It's only going to wait for.
Right, but I'm viewing this, I guess, more about instructional materials than the rules of that one program. You're saying that's kind of, I'm getting at that this is our policy on selection and evaluation of instructional materials. So that program is just one aspect of it. That's why. And that would still be our priority.
I agree.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, so that's why I just think it'd be better if we eliminated those two words, and then we just, that's the district's priority. That's something I kind of noticed.
Are we getting rid of the title also?
I don't think.
If we go into the weighted formula that's being recommended, this is all going to be flexibility. That's not going to make a difference.
And if the Mungren issue passes, we're going to have so much money for a year, all the rich people leave.
So what part are we taking out?
Right. I think we're taking out the headline, and we're taking out the first part of there in the accordance with the Instructional Materials Funding Realignment Program, comma. We're taking all that out, and we're capitalizing the word the.
Okay. That makes sense.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Other discussion on 6161? Okay, 6163. Any discussion on 6163? Okay. Okay. We'll move this with the changes.
I will move it with the amendment to BPE 41.19.29, removing the exhibit and adding the title, adding to the title towards students.
Okay. Who will second that? I'll go ahead and second that then. Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those against? Okay, it carries 4-0. Thank you, everyone. Okay, on to number 7. Course outline, second reading.
Thank you for the information provided. I'm still not comfortable with it. And I do think, actually, it's a problem that I think, when I look at the IB program and, you know, the language beforehand where it talks about diversity and talks about things like that, then I see that it continually focuses around one particular point of view. It almost reminded me of classes I took at UCLA where, you know, you can bring up other points of view, and that's the, you know, allegedly the focus. And, you know, I understand that, quote-unquote, trying to teach the culture, but having looked at the full list of stuff, I don't think it's complete.
I think there's a misunderstanding on how the resources are going to be used, and I don't know if Mr. Travatori, or I asked Mrs. Valentine, Sonia was going to be here, but we'd like to go a little bit more detail so you understand how these resources are going
to
be used.
You don't have to do that. Don't do that for me.
Well, I think I'd like you and the rest of the board to understand because it's not.
It's not a, do you think I don't understand? I mean, is that, you know.
Well, it's an anthology that we're talking about.
I know.
It's not a bunch of.
But, you know, you asked that the other stuff be included, and I looked at it, and I don't see the quote-unquote diversity when it comes to Spanish-speaking countries that people talk about. You know, when I look at the writings, and, you know, I complained before about, you know, obviously Che Guevara, communist murderer. And I actually said, I'm fine if you want to talk about him, if you want to bring up all his own writings about how he executed peasants, if you want to do that, fine. You know, then he came up with another communist after that. And then, you know, he gave me the anthology, and there's a guy there who left Peron, left Argentina because Peron's too right-wing for him. So, I mean, it's like, okay, that's fine. But I didn't see any diversity when it comes to Spanish, quote-unquote, Spanish culture. I didn't see any writings of, you know, I saw writings questioning what those people thought traditional culture was, but I didn't see a writing, for example, and I think that's their myopic view of what traditional culture is in Spanish-speaking countries, and I think you can't do that. I mean, that if anyone knows anything about Spanish-speaking countries, you know, there's so much diversity, people are stunned. You know, I was talking to someone, you know, how come there's no Peruvian poet, you know, who has a Japanese last name? You know, a third of Peru is Japanese. Why isn't there a writing from a Catholic priest in Bogota in there if we're talking about traditional Spanish culture or any kind of Spanish culture? And, you know, it just seemed odd to me. And, you know, I think I understand it fine. I mean, I don't know about the rest of the board, but if there's something special being done to try to make me understand, I think I understand it.
As long as you understand that this anthology is not about ideology, it's about different genres, small excerpts from different genres, with the focus in terms of looking at, one is a pamphlet, one is critic on a movie, and it's really not about an individual's political ideology. It's about using these particular writings for students to look for different cultural aspects in Central America and in Spain. And Mr. Hector, I don't know if you want to address these questions or.
Go ahead, please. Thank you. Please take the mic.
If I can offer this, the goals of the IB Spanish course, they're multifaceted. Really, the end game here is, you know, the course assessments, but also the future college-level language courses that they'll be pursuing. Mm-hmm. And we want students to acquire the Spanish language while exploring the culture that's connected to it. The text selected, Mañana, specifically written for the IB curriculum, used again nationwide, globally, I should say, rather, provides a study of the Spanish language with a written and advanced grammar, but additionally within the context of the identified IB language theme. But specifically, the selections are multicultural, and what they're doing is they're offering authentic texts from a wide variety of Spanish-speaking countries that enable students to develop a genuine intellectual understanding. In addition, the different exercises that accompany the selections are carefully designed to develop students' linguistic abilities while at the same time encouraging them to develop critical thinking skills and allowing them the opportunity to interact personally with the material. So again, it's this multifaceted aspect that we're engaging the students and preparing them for, right, pursuing not only, you know, we're trying to replicate the university course of study at the high school level.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I don't think it's multifaceted. I think you've recreated what some of them will hear in college, absolutely. But, you know, I think when it comes to the cultural aspects of it, you know, you may have picked, there's different authors from different countries, but I don't think it's multifaceted at all.
But we're pursuing social relations, global issues, communication, media. Respectfully, most if not all the writings come from Latin America and Spain.
I'm sorry, what?
I said most if not all the writings come from Latin America and Spain, and they're supposed to be representative of the theme selected for the study, which is social relations, global issues, and communication and media. So again, these are authentic texts from a wide range of Spanish-speaking countries.
Right.
To develop the genuine intercultural understanding.
And that part I don't. I understand the first part, mm-hmm. but the second part I disagree with. Yeah. That's what I said.
Okay. You said it was an anthology that's used globally. So it's not. This is not specific to our own school. It's
written for the IB curriculum.
Right. And then we're not studying, help me understand, we're not studying the political, we're studying the actual writings. So that...
Well, it's a language acquisition.
If we were studying the political, then it would be covered probably in the history course, and then it would be a project, and then everybody would be comparing.
So it's triple-pronged. It's the language acquisition aspect, the language proficiency, and the intercultural understanding. Mm-hmm. And it's through the literary analysis and application of the various writing genres.
Okay.
So for us, that's the thrust of the course.
I can understand and support that.
Yeah, I do too, but this program doesn't have that. Yeah. It doesn't reflect it. It's not multifaceted. It's not diverse.
Well, the intention is by the time they graduate, they'll be multifaceted and culturally diverse, and so this is one class. Right? Isn't that the intention? Is that at the end, when you take
one
in all
source,
the pieces?
One source.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to start looking at some of the other sources a little harder, I think.
Mr. Spence, you're going to have to write a new anthology for the IB program.
Well, I don't need to write one. There's plenty of other writings out there, you know, that talk about different aspects.
Any other comments from any other board members on this item? No? Okay. Who will move this?
I'll move it.
Thank you, Ms. Poulos. And who will second that?
I'll second it.
Okay, thank you. To adopt the course outline as presented, all those in favor say aye.
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 And opposed?
No.
Okay, so it passes 3-1. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Travatori, for staying as long as you did to answer the questions for us. Thank you.
Well, and I do have one comment, and that is I do understand what Mr. Spence is saying, and I think it's important that the school understand that the argument isn't with the fact that writers come from Latin America and Spain. It's that they show one viewpoint, and I will be looking towards next year through the IB program that they are provided with global points of view, which is more than just one. Just having an anthology that has writers from different countries does not give a global viewpoint. And so that's the point that Mr. Spence is making.
I would be
and
happy
I concur
to,
with.
To set up a time to meet with staff so they can understand where I'm coming from, so they can just understand that.
Did I not?
Yeah, you did. You understood it.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Item number 14, declaration of need for fully qualified teachers.